This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast preview show. That's right, it's 7 o'clock on a Friday, which can mean only one thing, that we are back to have a little chew of the fat of what's gone on this week and look ahead to this weekend. It'll be the Leeds game, of course. So there we go. I'm very much looking forward to that. 16 years since we played that lot in the league, but more of that later. Now, who have I got with me? Well, you must be amazed to know that I have with me Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
It's rare, isn't it?
Who knew?
Yeah,
who would have thought?
I know, yeah.
Bizarro. Anyway, lovely to see you. You well?
You too, yeah, thank you. But I'm got a bit of a sniffle, actually.
Oh,
kid.
No.
Yeah. Got in the way of my voicing today, I've lots of strepsils and lots of you know, Lemsip. You know what I mean?
You poor old thing. Yeah. I shall bear that in mind. I shall bear that in mind and try and be gentle with you.
I may have to go and lie down halfway through, but that'll be no problem.
It's only an hour show. You'll be all right. You'll make it. I've also got, of course, the third member. We always have three fan casters on the Friday night show, and we've got the lovely Dan Silver with us.
Good evening, all. The third wheel.
The third wheel, yes. Yeah. Watch your scratchy mic, Dan.
Sorry, mate.
Just a word in your shell-like, as it were. Are you well? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Very good. It's Friday. Football's on tomorrow. Very excited.
All good. All right. Now, last but by no means least, we like to have somebody from the Fourth Estate with us. That's right, isn't it, Ollie? It's the Fourth Estate, the press.
Fourth Estate, yeah. I think that sounds about right.
There you go. Not Fourth Division, though. You're top division, mate.
Division, thanks. Appreciate
definitely
that.
Right. Always, Ollie, always lovely to see you on the show joining us on a Friday or a Monday, for that matter. So, good to have you on board. Now, let's get straight into it, actually. It seems like a week for Ollie's this week. I have to say, when I saw the team sheet for the Sevilla match, I didn't have a meltdown. There was no shitting of the nappy, certainly publicly on Twitter, but I was a bit worried, I have to say, because he was definitely putting out a B team, 9 changes and all of that. But before we get into how, and I thought the team did really well, but we'll get into that later. I mean, we cannot start anywhere in this show tonight without talking about Olivier Giroud. The penalty was really good as well, but the hat-trick, perfect hat-trick, left foot, right foot, header, they were all superb goals. I mean, I'm going to bore you all stupid with a bit of stats. You know me, I don't like stats. But when it's something like this, I just get well excited. But first player to score 4 goals in a single Champions League since Cristiano Ronaldo did it for Real Madrid in 2015. Of course, he's the first Chelsea player to score 4 goals since Frank Lampard in March 2010 against Villa. He's now
Derby, wasn't it? Derby?
No, it's Aston Villa. That's what my facts say. Okay. They could be wrong. I probably got them from Wikipedia, so you know.
No, you're right, Chidge. It was Villa.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, rely on Dan. Dan knows. Anyway, he's the fifth. He's fifth on the all-time goalscorers list for Chelsea in European competition. He's the oldest player to score a hat-trick in the Champions League European Cup since Ferenc Puskás. Bloody hell. He's now scored 28 goals in 50 starts for Chelsea. Only Kerry, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank and Ida have scored more since the 80s. He's one of 15 players to score four goals in the Champions League. He's in the company of people like Marco van Basten, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Shevchenko, Messi, Lewandowski, Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo. I mean, I love him for his beard anyway, Ollie, but what a performance.
Yeah, I'm always envious of his beard.
Yeah, I have beard envy with Ollie too.
Mine just keeps getting gingery.
Too much grey in mine, mate. You should be so lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all... He's one of those players, isn't he, that he is massively appreciated by the fans he plays for and massively underrated a lot of the times for those who don't see him week to week. I mean, at Arsenal, he was, you know, I know a lot of Arsenal fans weren't happy that they let him go. And, you know, a lot of Chelsea fans now are not wanting to go anywhere in January, for sure. I mean, he's a class act. And I think Lampard has spoken about it several times about how professional he is. And I think that's just what it went to show. It wasn't just his goals as well. He was excellent all round. I know Sevilla made a few changes and they weren't at their best and they had a, you know, a rookie goalkeeper, but I don't think the goalkeeper could have done anything about any of those goals. I think he's just, you know, he's just the ultimate professional. And the class in which, especially that second goal he took, and just the calmness where a young striker, you know, it's hard to say, but maybe an Abraham might have snatched at it.
Or careful.
Tried to shoot too early. But he just took his time, knew what he was doing, chipped it over the keeper and that's it. And then the other side as well, and I saw a lot of fans on social media, you know, you saw the chances missed against Spurs in those heading situations that Abraham didn't, you know, make the most of. And they weren't the easiest, but they were still chances that Giroud kind of proved that if he was there, he might have finished them. Yeah, the guy's a class act. He's absolutely quality. And I think Lampard knows that he has to keep him in January. I think that it's just about persuading him and also Deschamps as well, just to keep him off the back of pushing him towards an exit.
I think there was some encouraging news from what I understand. I only saw it obliquely on Twitter, but apparently he said something along the lines of, you know, he pretty much wants to stay, wants to win trophies with Chelsea. So fingers crossed. JK,
isn't he under contract? Hasn't he got a contract?
Yes.
Can't keep him regardless.
I think it probably runs out in the summer, doesn't it, Ollie?
Yeah. He runs out in the summer and he can start talking to clubs as well in January. I mean, it's just one of those things that the one talk was whether they would reward him with a deal. If they wasn't going to get played at all, it was it'd be about him getting his chance to go somewhere else to play football so that he could get into the Euros team more than anything else. But now I think that Lampard, and you know, Lampard's always said he wants to keep him. I think that it would be really pretty stupid to let him go, I have to say. I think he's underused a lot of the time and also just gives you something completely different.
Mm.
I agree completely, Chidge, about him. I'm sorry with you, Ollie, about him scoring against. Good, Dan's asleep. Look at that there.
Oh, yeah, just
he's socially relaxed. Socially relaxed, mate. Friday night, leave him alone.
Yes, true. It's true about scoring against Spurs, because I think he'd have made contact with both of all those crosses that were coming in, and I still don't understand why Frank took Ziyech. This is pronounced his name off in that game as well, just as Giroud came on. I mean, it's absolutely obvious to me that he is a complete class act. And it isn't necessary that the team around him needs to be that great, because he seems to be able to score from anywhere at the moment. And I've doubted him in the past. I thought he's been a bit, you know, wearing his diver's boots from time to time when he's come on as a sub, but I've been rude about him when he scored goals and just in the Europa League and said, well, he's playing against a pub team. But the goal he scored the other day against Rennes was completely phenomenal, and these four goals were absolutely, well, apart from the penalty obviously, but absolutely brilliant. And he clearly is a complete class act, and as you say, we've been underusing him, and he was brilliant in the Everton game before the lockdown, if you remember, when we appeared to find a combination that seemed to work.
He was brilliant for a few months before that, because he'd effectively forced Tammy out, hadn't he?
Well, indeed. But I mean, I'm afraid I wouldn't play Tammy again.
Whatever?
No, never ever. Never ever. Ever. That's it. I would just give... Well, no, no. I
would rather play Tammy Wynette.
But given the situation, was he 34? I would just keep on playing him, you know, or have him as the second...
I don't... I mean, Jonathan, it's a serious point, actually. And as always, you're the genius of the otherwise no-brain outfit of this show. But that's a great segue into the next point about him starting on Saturday. And I think the only reason that you wouldn't be starting Giroud every week is the fact that he is 34.
34, yeah.
You know, and he probably doesn't have the legs in him to play every week. But here's the question, mate. Should he start on Saturday?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
definitely.
For you, yeah.
Oh, definitely. But that was let's be absolutely frank about this. It was a phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
It's one of the best performances I've ever seen from a Chelsea striker. So you just go... Okay, well, he can't put him on the bench, surely.
Dan.
Surely. I mean, but then the other argument is, why isn't Werner playing centre forward anyway?
That's a different question for another show. Dan, Giroud.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't much more to say that the boys haven't already covered. I think he's exceptionally well liked. I don't think anyone saw it off the game. He and Tammy shared a really lovely embrace.
Wonderful. That was a wonderful moment. Nice, yeah. Absolutely agree.
Really enjoyed that. I think
what happened then, Dan, was that Jonathan had kind of messaged Giroud, okay, just before that happened, because I know Jonathan's got contacts in low places. Yes, and actually what really happened was that Giroud was saying, Jonathan says that you should never, ever play again, ever.
Yeah. Well, that's how to score goals, Tams. Yeah.
No, he's got to start, hasn't he, Dan?
No, I don't think he will.
Really?
Reason being, that the way Leeds play, we need real pace up front. And I think you'll probably see Timo playing up front. Because I think, you know, the way they press high up the pitch, we recover the ball from the low block and get the ball over the top. I think Timo's going to score. Point,
yeah.
And I think you'll probably see Pulisic, Ziyech and Timo start as a front three because all that pace. I don't think he's suited for Leeds. I think he's a sort of game where maybe like West Brom or something like that, who've got a very defensive setup. You know, that's where we'll play. And also, I don't think he's got his legs to play another 90 minutes after Wednesday. Yeah,
well, that's more my concern. I have to say that Leeds are very... Well, we'll get into this later, but they're pretty dodgy aerially. So actually having somebody who can head in the crosses that James and Chilwell put in might be a good idea. Ollie, very quickly, do you think he'll start? But more to the point, we should also, I think, applaud the fact that the B team really stepped up. I mean, this is a huge result, I think, because Sevilla have only lost once at home in the European competitions, and that was to an English side, and that was City.
Yeah, I mean, Sevilla made a few changes, obviously. They had some issues, but I do think that they... I think it's a big result for the bigger picture, more than just actually that game as a whole. I think the fact you can make 9 changes and win so comfortably, you look at the 9 changes, all of them were either internationals, current internationals, or former internationals. Mm. I mean, we say it's a B team, but a lot of those players would get into a lot of Premier League teams. So I do think that actually for the bigger picture, you know, it's really quite impressive and actually a good sign of what's to come. Because, you know, if you want to fight on all three fronts, if you want to get deep in the Champions League, if you want to get deep in the Premier League and go, you know, into the FA Cup final, you have to have a good all-round squad. And there's no doubt, I think that result showed that they have that. And that's the real step up. Andrew... I do agree with Dan. I think he deserves to start, and it's hard to take out a guy who's just scored 4 goals. But I do think against the Leeds side, where you're probably going to hit them more on the counter-attack rather than, you know, them just sitting back and letting you have all the possession. I do think that, as Dan said, it could be interesting to see that Pulisic, Werner and Ziyech partnership up top.
If he chooses that. You see, what I loved about it was the fact that all of the changes played the 4-3-3 really, really competently.
Yeah.
So they've all been playing that, obviously, and they were all up to the mark.
They all looked like they had a point to prove. Even Emerson, a guy that, a guy, you know, he really impressed, and it's quite clear now that he's the backup. I mean, Alonso, if anyone's going to go in January in that left back position, it's going to be Alonso. Yeah. I think that's pretty much nailed.
I think Marcus cooked his goose with Frank, didn't he, Dan?
Yes.
Well, I think the huge difference was the goalkeeper, because you know it was a B team back four, Rudiger, Christensen. You know, really good spraying the ball around. Christensen looked very good. I mean, they really kept Sevilla down to very few shots. You've got a competent goalkeeper, then you've got international defenders. Makes all the difference. I thought Christensen looked really solid. Really good, looked solid. Aspi is always going to give you 7-8 out
Emerson
of 10.
Emerson was a revelation.
Emerson was great. Yeah. I mean, you think that's our, as Ollie was saying, you know, like the old days of Jose, you had one for every position, two for every position. Yeah. We've got that. We beat okay, yes, it was an average Seville side, but it wasn't a first-choice Chelsea side.
Yeah.
We put on a really good performance. I think the squad depth is phenomenal. Yeah.
Laid down a marker, I reckon. Yeah. All right, let's move it on to the big event this weekend, which for Jonathan, I know for an absolute fact, for me, not quite close enough to Jonathan in the respect, and I think Dan certainly, but for our generation, this is massive because Leeds are public enemy number one as far as we're concerned, aren't they, Jonathan? This is huge. I mean, how big is the Leeds rivalry, do you think, still?
Only amongst people of a certain age. So
it's like a geriatric rivalry.
Yeah, exactly, because it's Tottenham everybody else thinks is the rival now. And
although that started around the same time, oddly.
Well, but not in the same level because Tottenham didn't compete in the same way.
67 was really the start of the Tottenham rivalry, I think. Whereas Leeds was about 60.
You mean from Frank Saul and Jimmy Robertson scoring in the cup final?
Yeah, but there was Ag there as well, mate. I mean, it was really, I think that's basically where the Spurs Chelsea rivalry started. Leeds was a few years before that. It was when they were both in the second division. You'll know. You were probably there, mate. I mean, in my extensive, huge notes, basically nicked off Rick Glanville on the pre-match briefing on the website, but well worth a read.
It's Rick's birthday during the week.
Yes, happy birthday. I did wish him happy birthday, but we can do so again. But yeah, they were competing to get out of Division 2 in 63. And then they were competing at the top of the table in 65, and they were kicking lumps out of each other. Then Johnny Hollins, that's when he coined the term dirty Leeds.
They had Albert Johansson playing for them, one of the first black wingers to play. Yeah. He was playing in the wing, and they had the centre forward was Trevor Peacock. How have I remembered these bizarre things? We were talking about Spuds, weren't we? I've gone off into Leeds world. But no, for me,
Leeds.
As a kid, Spurs didn't come into it. Mm. There was no comparison because it just seemed to be a complete scrap all the same every time they were on the pitch together. So, they were, their attitude towards the game just appeared to be one of let's win it by foul means, even though they had the abilities to beat practically every team they played against, because Revy was actually a decent manager, other than his I suppose he had a very almost modern cynical view. He almost had a let's win by any form of application of let's sail near to the as near to the laws as possible. But I can't even play your score just game, can I? I can't bear to give Leeds the possibility they might win. I don't ever do it.
This is the reason why JK's, although you're not the bottom of the league anymore, you've gone up one place.
But, well, have I? Oh, good. But it's one of the reasons, I have so many prejudices. Yeah. I can't possibly allow. I can't, in the same way that I won't let Fulham win, don't think they're any good. Dan, so, I mean, it's that view.
Dan, no. just quickly, because you turned up a lot later than JK, and I know JK is that's his number one hate team, but it was pretty spicy, in the 80s, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my dad always went on about how much he hated Leeds, because weirdly his best friend's a massive Leeds United fan, so they'd always have arguments about football. I remember when one Christmas he got us the 1970 Cup Final videos to watch on Boxing Day. He watched them back to back, and it was. He still says the bastard, but my blood boils still. Bloody Billy Bremner and all those good players. So no, I definitely got the Leeds hatred passed down to me. Yeah. And when they went, tits up, and we dropped like a stone to League One, League Two.
I loved it.
Rubbing your hands with glee.
I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, I remember we were saying this last season that we all really hoped they'd come back up because the chance to play them again would be brilliant. I mean, we haven't played them for 16 years, and. Sadly, it's a bit like the old apocryphal Dennis Law goal sending United down. We didn't really send them down. They were already down when we played them. Ranieri's last match, of course. I was there in gate 17. 2004, Dan. It was May the 15th. Yeah. Definitely Ranieri's last match. Because I remember we all gave Ranieri a big send-off.
Yes,
I remember.
There you go. 2-0 was 2-0.
Well, you did. 1-0. I didn't.
Well, you, 1-0. Yeah, but you're Mr. Contrarian, aren't you? Anyway, Ollie... bring you in a second, because of course the other major thing about tomorrow, other than welcoming back one of our biggest rivals for the first time in 16 years. We're welcoming back 2,000 supporters for the first time since February, so which is wonderful news. The thing that occurred, I mean, we've done it to death, and, you know, I pinged a bloody article moaning about it this week, but the one thing that I haven't thought about until now was, I wonder what you think about this, because you've been in the stadium while there's been nobody in there. Do you think it will make a positive difference to Chelsea having 2,000 supporters in the stadium tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it will. I think, you know, it's the first step to having some normality back, isn't it? I think there will be a slight appreciation. I mean, I think we've all seen, I mean, it's quite obvious that away teams now have, you know, there hasn't been the edge of having those fans. So away teams have had it slightly easier. I think it will, you know, it's not going to have, I don't think, the biggest effect ever, but I think that there will be, and I do think this is something that Lampard will drill into his side ahead of the game as well, that, you know, this is a big moment. This is a huge moment for Chelsea fans and for fans around the country, really, having supporters back, even if it is a small amount, you know, 2,000 in a 40,000 stadium. You know, it's just having that sense that, you know, how much it does mean to fans to be back in the stadium. I think we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Chid, you know, it was that the idea of, you know, as we were all a bit tired, but then you knew the weekend was coming and you were going to a football game. And it just, for a lot of people, that hasn't been there. So I think that has to mean something to the players as well. I think it has to be drilled into them that this is a massive moment.
Yeah.
You know, atmosphere wise, okay, 2,000 people is not a lot in a stadium of the size. You know, you look to the Arsenal game and, of course, in midweek, and, you know, a 60,000 seater stadium is still going to be pretty quiet, but at least there is that there. And there has to be an appreciation from the players. And I think it will make something of a difference on the pitch as well.
Good, good. All right, we're going to have to move on. Actually, talking of dirty Leeds, we've got... I mean, actually, he's probably the nicest Leeds fan I've ever met. I mean, how remiss of me to get somebody on the show who's a Leeds fan that we actually like. But in a minute or two, we're going to have...
I'll put a stop to that, Chidge.
I know.
Worry.
Well, you like him too. You've met him as well.
But
I know you have. Because basically, funnily enough, I mean, we're going to have John McKenzie from... All Stats Aren't We podcast on, and actually, funnily enough, the Leeds podcast which John was on used to follow us on a Friday night at Love Sports, so we used to have a quick chat with John, and he's lovely, so I've really screwed up there. But before all that, massively important news, because we've been so blessed, really, with having Ollie come on our show on the Monday night show and the Love Sports show and this show over the last few years. And I've had the absolute pleasure of working with him for Football London. He very kindly lets me write absolute garbage every week and then puts it up. God knows why they let me get away with it, but he has done, and for which I'm hugely grateful. But I'm very sad to tell you, people who have enjoyed listening to Ollie on the Chelsea Fancast, that he's leaving us. He's going to sunnier, warmer climes, and he will no longer be able to be on the show. And I'm very sad about that, but I'm very happy for Ollie that he's got a lovely opportunity for him. Ollie, we're so sorry to see you go, but thank you, mate.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me ever since the early days of 2017, I think would have been the first time. I was on. Yeah, and yeah. I remember the first show I did on the Monday night, I did it from the office back when in Canary Wharf and I was working there. And I remember running around the office because there was a cleaner.
I stayed behind
in the office, and I was walking around the office to avoid the cleaner on the 26th floor of, I think it might have been, of Canary Wharf. That was my first show. I've taken it a little bit more casual from then. I've started coming home first before I start. But no, thanks guys for the opportunity to be on so often. And it's always great.
Does this prevent you from coming from not Zooming to do us?
Well, we can always. I mean, it's probably about 2 o'clock in the morning out there at the moment. So, you know, if I'm coming back from a night out or something like that, maybe you might not want me on then.
Ollie,
to be fair,
but, you're always welcome, mate.
Thanks
but
for
I'll tell you
me
what, as a token of our esteem, I'm sorry I'm having to do this virtually, but I will grab your address and I'll ping it out to you and pronto, because I gather you're off like at the end of next week. But I thought it'd be really nice if we gave you one of these. Can you see that? There you go. Because you would have stared at the real one of for many a day whilst you've been covering Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But it's a signed mini Kerry Dixon banner, and I will stick that in the post to you.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you for your fantastic contributions to our show.
Brilliant.
As I say, thank you for having me.
There you go.
in the future, hopefully I'll be back on.
You're welcome at any time you like. You know that, mate. But anyway, bon voyage, and thank you so much again. It's been a real pleasure working with you.
Cheers, gents. Thanks very much. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Now, we will be back in a minute, and we'll be speaking to John McKenzie from, I can never remember what he calls his bloody podcast. All Stats, Aren't We? See, Yorkshire people, they don't speak proper English like we do.
All Stats, Aren't We?
Exactly. All right.
See you later.
We will see you in a minute.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Right, welcome back to the Chelsea Fancast preview show with me, Jonathan Kidd.
With you, Jonathan Kidd.
No, with
you.
Me, comma, then, Jonathan no, Kidd.
Right, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, okay, right. Well, people listening may have misunderstood that themselves, Kidd, because you elided. You didn't leave a gap, you know?
All right, finished?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jonathan Kidd. Hello, everybody. Yeah, lovely well to be on.
Exactly. And, of course, the lovely Dan Silves.
Good evening. No worries about the introduction. That was perfect.
There we go. Now, it is, of course, it's time, of course, for the view from the other side of the fence. Indeed, it is time for this.
The Opposition View.
And on the Opposition View tonight, an old mate of ours, because, of course, as I was saying earlier, you know, we used to cross paths every Friday night. Love sport, didn't we, John?
We did indeed.
And what I should have said, well, I'm very well. What I should have said, of course, is John McKenzie from All Stats, Aren't We?
There you go.
Proper introduction.
I'm very much here. Good. I'm just confused. Who am I talking to? Is this Dave Chidgey?
No,
or
it's
this
Jonathan Kidd. It's Jonathan Kidd.
Oh, okay,
Kidd.
Right.
Yeah. anyway, it's good to see you, John. We are so excited for this game tomorrow. I mean, I think it's a really cruel twist of fate. I mean, I know we've got 2,000 people back in the stadium tomorrow, but you know, when the fixture list came out, this whole week would have been the week that every Chelsea fan would have highlighted. Saturday at home against Spurs, followed by Saturday at home against Leeds. It doesn't get much better than that for us. We can release an entire decade's worth of anger and frustration in the space of, you know, in two lots of 90 minutes. So you know how much we love playing against you lot. But what does the rivalry mean to you as a Leeds fan?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I certainly think that I'm of a generation that really doesn't get the old rivalry. But I think we've got a lot to thank Frank Lampard for rekindling that, because a lot of Leeds fans are really looking forward to the game tomorrow, purely on the basis of, you know, it gives us a chance to maybe get one back over Frank after the playoff semi-final against Derby. So, I do think that Leeds fans are really considering this probably the game that they would most like to win this season. Mm.
But, I mean, you know, I totally get that there's a bit of an age thing that comes in with this. And, I mean, you know, let's be fair, you know, there's a whole generation of Chelsea fans that won't have seen Chelsea play Leeds. I mean, if you forget the Capital One Cup match, I think it was the Capital One then. But we haven't played you in the league since
5-1. Was that the 5-1?
Yeah. You know, we haven't played you in the league since 2004. So, like with us guys, because we're all old gits, is the old git fraternity of Leeds United still massively, you know, thinking this is a real grudge match?
I think so. I think there'll be a lot of the older generation really looking forward to this, because you know that this was the sort of match that you lived for in the top division of English football for a good long while. It's certainly, I think, one of the biggest rivalries we have with the top sides. Obviously, Manchester United is up there, but I think a lot of fans would probably still consider Chelsea maybe to be the other rivalry based on various things, in the same way that we would consider, I guess, Bayern Munich to be a rival simply on the back of that European Cup final. So it's funny, isn't it, how these sorts of like certain events stick out in the collective memory and history of fan bases and sort of make these things into really meaning-laden events. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of that tomorrow.
My memory is not collective. My memory is personal. and I don't want to play you. I think you deserve to be in the second division for the rest of your career. And in fact, John, boo!
John, to put this into context, Jonathan also said that he doesn't think that Tammy Abraham should play again ever.
Oh wow!
You know, so he
Giroud 4 goals. Yeah, so she's just trying to paint me here as an eccentric.
Well, I don't have to paint you as one.
An eccentric.
I'm just very, very old.
Jonathan, you walk around with a sandwich board on saying I'm an eccentric, mate. I don't have to try at all. You know, I think actually what I can say though that this evening Jonathan is well and truly riled up, and I think it is down to the fact that we're playing Leeds tomorrow. John, here's moving off the rivalry thing. I mean, you know, you're back in the Premier League. Many would say where you belong. I would include myself in that actually. But how pleased are you with the season so far?
Yeah, it's been great. It's obviously we've since Marcelo Bielsa came along that these are the sorts of games that we've really been wanting to sort of test our mettle in. We as Leeds fans are all fully aware of how exciting the football that he plays is, and the opportunity to play against clubs in the top division of English football has been really great for the fan base. And I think we've really lit up the league. We've had some real humdingers of games in there, and it's, you know, the chance to see your, it's funny because it's been 16 years since I've been able to watch Leeds in the Premier League until this season, and just the opportunity to watch your team play against the best that the country's football league has to offer is great. So I've thoroughly enjoyed the season so far, and I think we've really acquitted ourselves quite well on top of that.
Mm. In terms of the team, who's like your general? Who's your most important player that kind of would dictate?
Bamford.
No, I mean, yeah, in terms of, like, you know, you see, like, you know, for example, like, you know, who's your main man? Who's the one that everything's going to go through that's man to watch for you guys? Because quite a lot of the squad is a team that got you promotion, isn't it? With a couple of additions.
Yeah, of course. I think in terms of the player who maybe goes under the radar quite a bit is Matthijs Glik. Although I think a lot of people have been impressed with how he's just fitted in the Premier League quite comfortably. But he's really important insofar as he plays in the midfield. He has a lot of both defensive and attacking work to do. He's probably one of our more creative players. He's one of these players who doesn't ever really look fancy, but, you know, everything that he does is really pivotal to everything that we do on the field. And he's just a brilliant decision maker, a brilliant tactician as well. So obviously works well in the Bielsa side. Beyond that, we have players. I mean, Ilan Meslier, our goalkeeper, has been remarkable so far this season. If he has a good game, it will make a big difference.
He looks about 10, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. he's been brilliant. Luke Ayling, our right back, is really important in progressing ball progression for us. Again, a player who we picked up from basically, you know, out of nowhere, Bristol City, spent time at Yeovil, was an Arsenal academy reject basically, and he's become one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League under Bielsa. So, and then maybe a bit of a mention for Rafinha, our new winger who's come in from Rennes, and looks like a really exciting player as well.
And Bamford, of course.
Bamford, well, of course, Bamford. Yeah,
we all may laugh about Bamford, who never really ever got a chance with Chelsea. But I actually did a podcast at the beginning of the season with a whole load of different supporters from different clubs, one of whom was a Leeds fan, and we were all talking about who we thought would be the league's top scorer. And he said Patrick Bamford, and I nearly fell off my chair in laughter, and then led everybody else in laughter at him. And since then, Bamford's been scoring for fun, and I'm beginning to think, God, am I made myself look like a complete mug here or what? I mean, he's a much better player, though, I think, than any of us thought he was, John.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry, and Jonathan.
I'm sorry.
Jonathan thinks he should never, ever play again, ever.
No. I'm being misquoted here.
Sue me.
Yeah, and also,
translation.
John, you'll verify this. I've always, every time we met, just before going into the Love Sport, I always used to say to you, I think Bamford's a really good player. He reminds me of his upright start. He's very Kerry Dixon-like.
You have said
and
that
I was
lot,
always Andrew. Interested in him, always. So rather than tarring me with the same brush as yourself and Dan and every other person you've spoken to, could you give me some credit here?
Do you know what? Shush, and I will. Basically, yes, this is true. You do often compare him to Kerry Dixon. And of course, I was being mistaken. I always thought you only liked Bamford because he plays the piano and the violin.
He plays the violin. Yeah, exactly. I like that.
And he speaks. I actually got some friends. Funnily enough, I was supposed to be doing a Zoom chat before this, but I told them to jog on because I was doing this. But these friends of mine actually know know Patrick Bamford because they live in Woking, and they know a lot of the kids that went to Cobham, so they know his family and everything, and they say that he really is a lovely guy. John, here's a question for you. Is Bielsa a mad genius, and is there method in his madness?
He's certainly a genius. I'll give him that. It's funny, at the moment I'm writing a book about Marcelo Bielsa, and part of the reason why I'm writing a book about Marcelo Bielsa is that he's someone who doesn't really talk about himself very much. He's someone who only gives press interviews in post and pre-match press conferences. That's basically the only way you can really find out things from him, other than indirectly from other people as well. And I think this has led to a real sort of mystique about him. There's lots of anecdotal stories that sort of do the rounds whenever people talk about him. But yeah, I in terms of his whether or not he's mad, I suppose what I find so interesting about him is that he himself doesn't consider himself to be mad. He's
everybody
everything
else.
That he does. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and yeah, there's the famous quote about, you know, everyone's considered mad until people realize how successful their methods are. And I think that's it basically comes down to that. He has a really remarkable method, and I think a lot of people, regardless of how unusual they may think that he is, when they see the results of what it is that he does, then it's hard to claim that he's anything other than a genius.
Mm. Does he actually speak English? Because obviously I know, like, when Pochettino first came, he has the interpreter. Does he actually speak English to the players, or does he communicate through his assistant coaches and so on?
He doesn't speak English, as far as I'm aware, so far as he will always use an interpreter to talk to people. But he definitely understands English, and you get these weird situations in press conferences when he'll say something, the translator will translate it, and he'll disagree with the translation that's used. Yeah. So he definitely knows. But I think for him, it just comes down to the fact that he's just much more comfortable at clarifying himself, obviously, in Spanish. Yeah. And so he would much rather make sure that he's saying what he knows to be clear, and then relying on someone who maybe has a better grasp of English to then communicate it.
Apparently, sorry, Dan, go on.
I was going to say, yeah, because obviously they play such high intensity. Do they last 90 minutes, or do you find by like 80th minute that just they tend to flag a little bit? I mean, have you let in a lot of late goals? Because obviously, I know in the first season there, I think the league's tired towards the end, didn't they? Because of the amount of effort and energy that goes in. Can they last some 90 minutes of that intensity?
Yeah, there's a lot of urban myths about Leeds and this burn-off mentality that people talk about, but I've never really seen much evidence for that. I'd say that the majority of the time we play the full 90 minutes at the same sort of intensity, and we tend to perform better in second halves than in first halves, precisely, I think, because we have the ability to carry on going into second halves. This season as well, like, we are going to play fewer games this season than we did last season because we're out of the Carabao Cup. And so even if we got to the FA Cup final, we would still play fewer games than we did last season.
Eight, less league games for starters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and also obviously that last season, the schedule was wild by the end because of the coronavirus break. Yeah. So in many respects, this season has been remarkably laid back for us. We were playing like games. I mean, they've already played 15 games, I think, in the championship.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be an easier season for us. So I can't see that being an issue, really.
That's a really good point, actually. Just a final point on Bielsa, John. I mean, everybody that I've, you know, listened to on the radio and talking about him says he has an incredible command of language. He's incredibly precise. And I think that tallies with what you say about the fact he'd rather speak in his own language and be able to use it to full effect than use it poorly in another language. And apparently he's a very compassionate and gentlemanly type figure, actually. He's a fascinating character, there's no doubt about it. But my main question is, how can somebody that age squat for 90 minutes like he does?
It's tiring, isn't it? You see,
I couldn't do it for five.
He must have quads of steel.
It's
the only explanation for it. Actually, I find it, I go to the loo so often that it's easier to maintain that position for long periods.
Oh, well done, JK. Lowering the tone as always. Bless your heart. Listen, John, we got you tomorrow. It's a massive, massive match. I mean, obviously, it is for us anyway because of the rivalry, but also, you know, if we win, we go top, certainly, for 24 hours. And doing a little bit of research, which I'm loath to do, but occasionally I've been known to do it. Leeds have got a big problem in London, haven't they? What on earth is all that about?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't have the figures to hand, but I think Marcelo Bielsa has played nine times and lost seven.
I've got them here, mate. Because
never won in London under Bielsa. I think that's for sure.
I say I've got them, and I've lost them.
It's the rarefied atmosphere.
I think I can get them to hand quite easily. So,
isn't it to do with altitude? Isn't it you come down from the north?
He's played 11. Yes. He's won 0. He's drawn 2 and lost 9. He has 6 goals for, 18 goals against, 3 pens conceded, 1 sending off. His total points per game is 1.99 over his whole time at Leeds. And if you include London, then it goes down to 1.81. So, yeah, not
great. I've got Leeds have left the capital pointless after 17 of their past 24 visits to London, winning once at QPR in December 2017. I remember Newcastle having a similarly weird record in London. But, I mean, I suppose there isn't. I mean, you know, you can't rationalise that or make any sense out of that. These kind of weird things happen, don't they?
Yeah, it's very odd because, like, it's not even if you look at the teams that we played in London that they were, like, up there amongst. I mean, we lost to Charlton Athletic in London and then beat them 4-0 or 5-0 at the end of last season in the return leg. And there's teams like QPR, who causes a lot of problems away from home. It's not even like the championship sides in London are particularly impressive. So whether or not it's simply the reality of travelling down overnight, a long distance, staying over, but it wouldn't seem to make much. Yeah,
a bit warmer,
yeah. Maybe there's an altitude change or something, I don't know.
Maybe. All right, mate. How's it going to go tomorrow then?
Yeah, you look at the Chelsea side and you're so front loaded. So like your front five are just a terrifying prospect. Mm. I still remain a little bit unconvinced about Frank Lampard as a tactician, but when you have that amount of players that can cause moments, I there's not many Leeds fans who are feeling particularly positive about our chances tomorrow. So I suspect that we will give you a good game. I suspect we will make you work hard for the win. But, you know, we've had a couple of games where we've lost 4-1 and I could see it going that way just as well. So I just hope that we go down there and give a good account of ourselves, really.
Mm, okay, guys, stick your neck out on a score prediction.
I'll say 2-0 Chelsea.
2-0 Chelsea, okay. Obviously, I hope that does not come to pass. I have to say, John, it's lovely to see you apart from anything else. We kind of missed the old Love Sport days.
Yeah, it was lovely catching up with you guys briefly in between our shows on Friday nights, I must say.
It was, yeah. And quick shout out for your pod, All Stats, aren't we?
Yeah, we focus on the sort of tactics and stats side of things, filling a niche that wasn't really there for the Leeds United market. So if that sounds interesting to anyone, we are best place to go is our Twitter at All Stats, aren't we? And all of our stuff goes up there.
And you do a lot of writing as well, don't you, John?
Yeah, I'm doing quite a bit of writing at the moment. Actually, I've dropped a bit of my freelance work down to try and get this book done that I mentioned. Mm. So I'm working on a book on Marcelo Bielsa, sort of biographical essays, really. It's not really a full biography because those are available and you can get them, but just using aspects of his life because he's such a fascinating guy that there's so much he can talk about that he opens up lots of debates and discussions. So, yeah, that's hopefully going to be done in the next 6 months or so.
Brilliant.
So John, are you tactically savvy about other teams as well? Do you find yourself being able to analyse what's going on between other teams, or is it only Leeds you're interested in?
So we focus on Leeds, but we do a lot of preview work for games. So before Leeds games, we will watch a lot of the team that we're playing in quite a lot of detail. So we have a lot of people who follow us to see what we say about their teams when we're about to play them.
We could get him in and ask him what the tactic's going to be for 5 minutes so we see him again rather than once, twice a year. So
You never know. You never know. Well, we may well see him again, of course, when it's the return fixture at Elland Road, actually, but we shall see. John, as I said, lovely to see you, mate. Glad to see you looking so well. I mean, I kind of will wish you kind of luck for tomorrow, but you know that that's a bit disingenuous. But
of course.
Hopefully we will see you again later in the season. But until then, take care, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Lovely. Yeah, it's great to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Take care.
But John, boo! Boo!
Brilliant. We will be back in a minute and then we're going to give you our version of events, so don't go away.
Cheech.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable.
The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry.
And where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is, of course, the Chelsea Fancast's Friday night preview show. And with me, Stamford Chidge, him over there, Jonathan Kidd.
Well, thanks for the pause, Chidge. Good.
It's all right. I know, I'm learning. And, of course, the lovely Dan Silver. So we're back. And then, and as Genesis once said, Jonathan, and then there were three.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes, yes. Good album.
Now, are you going to follow me or shall I follow you? That was a really clever joke and you just didn't get it, did you?
Oh, I got it. Sorry. I was just concentrating. I've just been rejected for an application on the internet.
So. Oh, dear.
Yeah, very clever.
What's a tie
bridle? Yeah, I know. The moment's gone. You. The moment's gone.
It's, no, it hasn't. I can retrieve it.
Too late. I'm offended. Oh, okay. You might as well have thrown a big ball of tumbleweed at me.
No.
Anyway, look, we've had a lot of fun tonight. We've had Ollie Harbord on the first part, giving his wit and wisdom to us. We've had the lovely John McKenzie from All Stats, aren't we, to give the Leeds perspective on the massive, mahoosive match tomorrow. And now it's our turn. And I thought we would start this off with a bit of a wander down memory lane, because there are so many great Chelsea Leeds fixtures down the years. I've picked out some recent ones actually myself, but feel free to lob in a few of your own personal favourites. But I tell you what, the one I really remember beautifully is 2003, because of Ida's goal, that overhead kick. And I was in the West Stand that day, bizarrely, so I had a wonderful, wonderful view of it. And because I was down that end as well in the 3-2. That always really stands out for me. That was in, I think, January 2003. And I do really remember the 2004 match when Ranieri's last match. I mean, I clearly remember it mainly for that, but also for deluding myself into thinking that we'd sent them down. And then the third one is actually one that I wasn't at, but one of the probably many matches, if the truth are to be told. I like to say one of the few matches, but it's probably not true, that I really regret not going to. And that was the Capital One Cup match up there in 2012 under Rafa Benitez. But we won 5-1, but it was a proper old school, naughty, naughty, naughty match. All of Chelsea's naughty old lot turned up in force. There was lots of naughtiness going around everywhere. There was a lot of shuttling, kettling, sending everybody off at Wakefield. But I will put this up actually with the picture for the, you know, I always put a picture up with the show when I publish it. But there's a lovely picture of the Leeds fans in the away end, and it was a miserable, cold, misty Yorkshire night. And you just see this sea of very angry-looking, animated-looking Chelsea fans. A lot of bald heads on display. But there was a mist around them. And it looked like a scene out of Les Miserables, Dan. It was just nuts. Yeah. And I think that's... I mean, and I, the stories I have of all sorts of friends... Marco made a video about it, I think. There's some brilliant stories. And that really, you know... And to hammer them 5-1 as well. I think even Torres scored, but... You know, a great memory, even though I wasn't there, and I really regret not going. But I bet you two have got a few good matches to call up.
I mean, depending if we're going back a long way to 84, we beat them 5-0 at the end of the season. I think Kerry has got a hat trick.
Pitch invasion.
Yeah, 5-0. Cannon's got a goal. Mickey Thomas. That was. I think that was the day we won the title. Mm. I think, or we got promoted. I can't remember which one it was.
After Grimsby, wasn't
Joyous,
it?
Yeah, 28th. Yeah, it was really. I was just a fantastic game. Absolutely battered. I seem to remember really clearly we had orange goal nets. I don't know. That's my memory playing tricks. We had very very narrow orange goal nets, and we just absolutely destroyed them. It was a really enjoyable fight.
They destroyed the North Stand scoreboard, the new electronic scoreboard, yeah. Didn't they that day? Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it deserved it. Do you think it deserved it?
You liked it with the little goal celebration, the little animated goal people.
Yeah, but I think it had run its course. I think we were looking for different animations after that. I think
it was a bit like Snake on the Nokia, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely.
That game for me was a memory, but and I was at the 5-1, and in fact, I was so keen to get to the 5-1. That I was working and I had to get a late train, and I got there with 20 minutes of the first half having already been played, and I found it really difficult to get in the ground. I kept saying, "I've got a ticket, let me in," but they kept saying, "No, you can't come in here, lad. This is the away end." I said, "Yes, I'm coming. I've got a ticket. I've come for the away end," and I was wearing a suit, and because I'd been up for a casting or something, and I got in, and it was the atmosphere was completely phenomenal, and. We were kept in at the end, and I took video of all of it on my phone, obviously. But I took of it was just the camaraderie of everybody wedged in for the last 20 minutes and singing all the even I sang, even though I don't. You couldn't not. It was just absolutely brilliant.
Jimmy Savile, he's one of your own.
Yeah.
But also, no, we're not allowed to say that, are we? But also the 5-1 was great. It was so great. But then, bizarrely, one of the other games I remember is when we drew 0-0 and it was O'Leary's lot. And I watched him come off with the 0-0. They were singing, they had two players sent off and we failed to score. And they were singing 0-0 and we only had 9 or something. I can't remember the tune that would go to, but that was what they were singing. And then at the end... poor old Deschamps, just adding to his hatred of playing in the Premier League. O'Leary went up to him to shake him by the hand, and as Deschamps offered his hand, O'Leary took his hand away and thumbed his nose at him.
Father stank of elderberries.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But it sort of summed O'Leary up for me more than Deschamps, complete twat.
Yeah.
There he is offering his hand at the end of the game, and Deschamps, obviously in the end to become a great player and then to become manager of France has his hand rejected and he thumbs his nose at him. Oh God.
Indeed.
Anyway, obviously, but the other games that I remember, I'm afraid I've watched Chelsea Leeds far too often where they have behaved appallingly on the pitch, and I cannot rid myself of that.
Well, extends to modern day. I mean, I funnily enough, I was flicking through the picture library I use to find some pictures for later, and I started from. I thought they. I wonder if they got any really really old ones, and they don't. They all start in the 90s. But it was really interesting to see how many pictures there were of players being stretchered off, players sent off, players injured. You know, Lasso got clattered. I mean, all sorts of. I mean, so even now. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I suspect that the rivalry that we all know and love has dissipated somewhat with that that big kind of time gap. So I suspect that, unlike Chelsea Spurs, which always has a propensity to get violent, I'm delighted to say, I can't see that happening really anymore with Leeds. I don't think they're going to kick lumps out of each other at all, but there you go.
He's a very different manager, isn't he, Bielsa, to anything that, would... It doesn't evolve into that kind of thing with his philosophy, as far as I'm
aware. I think Frank wouldn't encourage that either. But I just don't... I think the steam's gone out of it because of that. Now, let's get into the football, because I think there's some very... Dan, being Dan, has already... I was going to say fingered it, which sounds very wrong, but he's kind of pointed this out. He's pointed this out because Dan's always on top of the tactics. But that's kind of where I've started, really, because I do think that Frank has got a decision to make with Ollie, because he was so good against Sevilla in the week, and he perhaps should have got more time against Spurs. He perhaps, had he been on, would have put some of those crosses away. So I definitely think he has to be in the equation. And I have broken it down thusly for you, because I'm all heart, obviously. If they play Ollie, then I think that they can exploit Leeds' undoubted weakness, aerially. I've got the stats. Stupidly, I'm on the wrong page. But I know that they've got an issue with stats. I need to start thumbing these, because I got so much flaming information here. I can never find it. I think they've got the
fingering and thumbing.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Only Sheffield United and Leicester have conceded more goals from set plays this season than Leeds, and a lot of those are aerial. So there's a weakness there that Ollie, James, and Chilwell could exploit. However, Tammy or Werner, doesn't matter which really, because they're both quick, could absolutely explore their high line. Leeds play with a very high line, and they don't bother with an offside trap, and they throw people forward with abandon, and they could be caught on the break with a really fast nippy striker, as in Werner or even Tammy Abraham. And also, if we play Havertz tomorrow, which I sincerely hope we do, because I think he's hopefully now back to fitness, he's the kind of player who can ping a 30-40 yard ball to feet or on the run and unlock that as well. So I think Frank has got a decision to make, whether it's Ollie or Werner or Tammy, Dan.
Yeah, I think midfield three will be Mount, Kante and Havertz. Mount and Kante will be the pressure to get the ball back over to Havertz. And then we need pace in the team. So if he's got Pulisic, who's fast, you've got Ziyech, who's fast, you've got Werner, who's fast. That's if we get three against two or whatever, I really fancy our chances. It's not the game for Giroud tomorrow. I also just don't think 90 minutes plus travelling, he's got that in his legs to do another.
That's my worry, game.
Particularly with the way Leeds play, the intensity they play. I think he's going to want the Timo play. I don't think Tammy will play. I think Timo will come down the middle.
Yeah,
with Pulisic and Ziyech on the wings.
Well, that's what we hope. I think we hope that'll happen.
I think he'll do that.
Pulisic had moments when actually he looked pretty good during the week.
Yeah, well, he nearly scored in the first half when he did that turn. And then I think we'll go back to normal back four. It'll be Thiago Silva, Zuma, Chilwell and Reece James.
Well, yeah. I think the back five is nailed on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kante is nailed on. Mount is nailed on. The other issue is, will it be Kovacic or Havertz? And I think that will depend on genuinely how recovered Havertz is now.
Well, he came off quite early, didn't he, on Wednesday night?
I think the COVID's hit him a lot harder than people have realised.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest,
he had a very good run, didn't he, for the first goal? It was him.
Yeah. Beautiful, wasn't it?
Impetus in the pass. He plays those passes beautifully. But yeah. I agree completely, Dan. I think he'll play. We hope he'll play Pulisic, Werner, and Ziyech.
I think he will, because Pulisic. Well, the fact he made those substitutions might be an indication to what he's thinking for Saturday, because he could have given Pulisic 90 minutes to get fit, but maybe he thought, you know what, I want Christian on the weekend.
Yeah. And then he plays Giroud against Krasnodar, and he scored six.
Yeah, I think it's a squad game. It's not a team game anymore. Yeah. I think have we got after Leeds? I can't remember.
Krasnodar.
Then the league.
Everton, isn't it?
Yeah, Everton's more of a Giroud sort of game, I think.
Yeah,
possibly.
That'll be a tough game too, I think.
Yeah, although I don't know about Everton. They stuck. They flattered. I know some way off town, and they flattered to see.
Terrible second half against Fulham. I watched.
And they lost to Leeds last week.
Yeah,
I think we want to. Quick, pacey team with a bit of solidity that Mount and Kante will give us.
I really hope that. I mean, I think actually, and we should mention this in dispatches, that Kovacic was excellent against Sevilla and also against Spurs the week before.
Yeah,
you know?
he's a quality player. I really, really like him.
What are the chances of us being right? We seem not to be able to pick the side every time.
Get like 9 out of 11.
Yeah, we get 9 out of 11 every time.
I think that's a really good point, JK. And the reality is, I think we all know in our hearts what Chelsea's best team is, and it's Mendy, Chilwell, Silva, Zuma, James, Kante, Mount, Havertz, Ziyech, Werner, Pulisic. I would say that is Chelsea's best 11.
Agreed.
But I think, so we would naturally, I think nearly always, apart from I think today, interesting discussion about, you know, who would be more suitable. I think that's absolutely valid. And I do think you need to play horses for courses occasionally. But I think the thing that we don't know, I mean, Frank's a great manager for, he'll pick who he thinks is doing it in training. But also, what we're not aware of is how much this is taking out of the players and how much they do need rest and how much they do need rotating. And there's no way in God's earth we know that unless we're on the training pitch.
Well, I think the beauty is that he can, because we've got a dead rubber midweek, he can put out a strongest team today,
team again,
make wholesale changes midweek and rest them. So I think I wouldn't be surprised on midweek that we see a completely different 11.
Wouldn't surprise me if Gilmore gets a go, actually.
Yeah.
Nailed on, I think, JK.
Yeah, I think we'll have a completely different 11, which gives, you know, the players will get a couple of days off to recover, and then we go to Everton with a strong, fully fit team.
Yeah, let's hope
One of the things I like about speaking to the opposition view people is everybody each week says Frank is, they have doubts about Frank. They always have every single one. Who was it the other day of the Spurs fan? What's his face?
Ricky
had doubts about Frank. Similarly, John's had doubts about Frank.
But that's that is media. You know my CFC UK. You know my CFC UK article.
Yeah.
It's fucking gaslighting, mate. Do you know what? I had that prick from Talksport, Hugh Wizencroft, on the radio the other day, going on about Havertz saying, well, he hasn't really set the world on fire, has he? Big signing for Chelsea, big reputation. He's turned out, hasn't really done much. He's been fucking injured for a month, you complete wazzock. Yeah.
And then he caught COVID.
I know.
Yeah. He's only played 10 games.
It's gaslighting.
I think the fact Frank's still not unproven is the wrong word. Frank's still learning the game as well. And I think he's making the strides from the season to last is fantastic.
How many managers in the Premier League have beaten both Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho? Twice
in their first season. Yeah,
if he's inept tactically, that doesn't happen.
No, I just say he's inept tactically. I think he's still learning the game.
I think he is, but that's what they're saying. They're all saying,
"Oh, they're stupid."
Yeah, well, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Listen, we did mention John, and he did have some interesting points. And again, you know, I must have had a really organised week because I've done a bit of homework this week, guys. I know it's shocking, isn't it? I know I have, but here's the thing about Leeds: they've got. I think that nobody in the Premier League has put in more tackles than Leeds. They're all about pressing, as we know, which is why they expire before the end of the season. But they're also about all-out attack. When they launch an attack, they do it en masse. They throw a lot of players forward. They get a lot of players into the opposition box. That being the case, JK, I think they do pose a bit of a threat, I have to be honest.
Well, they'll score, possibly, but if they do that, I mean, I'm not convinced they will because we seem to be completely watertight at the moment. But all right, say they score one, I still think we'll score four. You know, I'm completely, as you know, I don't think this is a problem at all, this fixture. I think we're too good for them because we'll burst in exactly the way you've been talking about, Dan. We'll burst ahead with the speed. You know, if he wants to score another goal like we scored the other day where Werner gets the ball and outpaces everybody and lays it off for whoever the centre forward is, or if by then it might be Ziyech, it might be Tammy, might be on whoever, they won't stand a chance. The pace is too much. Yeah. This is an instance for me, whatever they score, we'll score more because we'll get them on the break because we're a very classy side.
And I think also, I don't think they've got a particularly fast defence either. I mean, because they push up very, I mean, Ayling's solid, but he's not fast.
I think the character of the side is, say they were to score two, I just think we'd score four.
I don't think it'll be comfortable. I think we'll win. I mean, the way we're defending now, the way, you know, Frank will know how Bielsa plays. He would have, you know, learnt them when he played for Derby County. Yeah. So he knows how to deal with them.
Well, Leeds, I mean, I know it's Derby and I know it's completely and utterly different. Leeds, of course, beat Derby most of the time. apart from when it really, really mattered.
Yeah.
In the semi-final.
Went to Ellen Road, won four, was it 4-1 or something? Yeah. After and losing the first leg.
So, Mason Mount scored a cracker, I recall.
Yeah. I think these are a decent side. They only play 1-1. I think we'll have too much for them just in terms of experience and quality in going forward.
Well, very quickly before we nail our colours to the mast, I've got to ask this. I'm convinced about this. In fact, I might even put a bet on it, actually. But I'm convinced that Patrick Bamford is going to score against us tomorrow, JK. Would you agree with that?
No.
No?
No.
I'm with JK. I think we'll go to nil. I don't think we'll let anything in.
I think he'll score, and I'm going to put money on it. Myself, I think this is going to be a humdinger, I have to say. This is not going to be... Because I actually thought Chelsea-Spurs would be some goals, but clearly I didn't read the runes on that one. But I think there will be. And I think we're going to win 4-2, JK.
Okay, that's good, Chidge. Good, yeah.
Because I think there'll be goals.
I think we're going to win 3-0.
3-0. So me 4-2, you 3-0. Dan?
I was going to agree with Jake. I was going to say 3-0 as well.
3-0.
We'll be comfortable. I think we'll comfortably win it, and we'll go take a foot off the gas in the 70th minute because we've got the game all won.
Yeah.
I'm loving the confidence, boys. Right. I think that's about it for us, really. We're all looking quite and feeling quite... But, I mean, I am definitely feeling confident. I spoke to Jason Cundy and Adam Catman on TalkSport very early this morning and said that I felt quite confident about this because I think Chelsea are on such a crest of a wave at the moment. And I think do not underestimate how important that massive win against Sevilla was in midweek, because effectively it was our B team. You know, so everybody's going to be feeling really pumped. You know, the dirt track has pulled out a really good result. Oli Giroud got 4. I think there's a lot of confidence in the squad, a lot of happiness, crest of a wave. I think Leeds are going to have to really pull out something special to get a result tomorrow. And I don't see it happening. So there you go. Right, we should go. Mixler people, as always, lovely to see so many of you in here with us. I've been reading your comments. I haven't shouted any of them out, but I have been reading. It's been good to see you in there. We will be back. Well, me and JK will be back on Monday with, would you believe, JK, we've got Mark Worrell and Mark Meehan with us.
Royalty.
Well, not yes, royalty, but also because I thought, who has probably seen more Chelsea Leeds games of all the fan casters that I know, apart from JK, and it would be Marco and it would be Mark Meehan, and I thought I'd give him a special treat and let him come on. So they're on with me and JK on Monday. We'll obviously be looking back at the Leeds match, and we'll be looking ahead to the Krasnodar match on Tuesday. Now, I think I'm going to say the cheerio, but I think it's absolutely behoven upon us all to sing ourselves out tonight in time-honoured fashion when it comes to Leeds. So when I've done my Up the Chelsea, I want a nice rousing rendition of We All Hate Leeds and Leeds and Leeds. Yes?
Just before we do that, I was asked to sing a song that somebody had written, which I just, to the tune of Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. If you're lost, you can look and you will find them, Timo and Kai. If you're needing a goal, just look for the Germans, Timo and Kai. Timo and Kai.
I like that.
Who did good that? Who was wrote that?
I can't remember.
Oh, bloody hell. Bloody hell. All right, let's go.
I'll tell you on Monday.
All right. Anyway, okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, been great fun, as always, this week. We will see you on Monday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea. Up the Chelsea!
We all hate Leeds and Leeds and Leeds. We all hate Leeds and Leeds and Leeds and Leeds and Leeds and Leeds. We all fucking hate Leeds and Leeds!
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.